Street Fighter Alpha, Generations, released October 25th, 2005. Yet another animated fighting game movie. I'm DeLaVento.
And I'm resisting the urge to scream into the microphone, Nick Nundahl.
And this is Attract Mode. So, Nick, given your intro, I assume you love this movie.
Well, that is how this movie begins. We get the Street Fighter Alpha Generations logo come up and then just hear. Yeah. Very loud, very unexpected. Like it's from like a dark screen with no music, no like, you know, tone setting sounds of any kind, just straight into this scream, like cutting from silence. And it's shocking.
Yeah. I thought it was you at first.
Yeah. But that said, this movie was a trial to watch. It's some of the most bizarre animation we've seen, I think, in a fighting movie. It's almost a body horror.
That's that aspect of it definitely, but that's a tight race in terms of
I'm not saying it's the worst. I'm just saying it's very bizarre, like it inconsistent and consistently inconsistent. I would say we have characters who are literally like their physiology is morphing, but then we also just have characters who are not experiencing that, but they give them a weird camera angle and they show them in this incredibly bizarre way. Or my favorite thing, which is in a random fight, we get a fisheye lens of Ryu like right up on the camera, and it's like, is this a 90s rap video? What is going on? it's a very strangely animated film. It has some decent shots in it, some like surprisingly like, oh, that's kind of cool moments. But I think that's because they were trying all kinds of things and didn't have anyone restraining them to, you know, like a strict format for this animation either.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's some interesting stuff done in the fighting. A lot of the fight scenes, while maybe not blocked as well as they could be, do have just like interesting choreography and fighting techniques, but also it's animated, right? So like they can just do a bunch of weird wacky shit that defies the laws of physics.
Yeah, and that's fine. Like defying laws of physics between these magic characters is totally fine, but then also like out of fights they'll just do a weird camera angle on a character that makes them look grotesque and completely bizarre, like a different character.
Or make them jump and fall in slow motion for some reason, even though they're talking in real time.
Yes. Yes. Weird things like that. There's also just a bizarre design choices for so many characters. We get in our opening sequences, Gouken with like almost MacGyver-esque mullet hair, but like dark black version of that, but very heavy, heavy hair.
Do you remember that the it was like this old infomercial product? It was like a hair bump. Do you remember this thing where it was like a secret comb you would like embed in your hair? And you would basically like it was like a hair band that you would put, basically you would embed it in your hair, and so you would have a layer of hair over top of it to make your like hair taller for some reason. And that's what Gouken looks like he has in this movie. Because
interesting.
Like, the physics of his hair stacked on top of his head do not make sense. It makes his head look like it's way too tall.
Yeah, it's a bizarre design. And then we have two female characters show up in the movie, one of them here right at the beginning and one later, who are so absolutely identically plain that they seem like they would be the same character, to the point where we were incredibly confused about how the timeline would work with these characters and things like that, because they're just defaulted, in their like size, their silhouettes would, if you blocked them out, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference at all.
I mean, I still can't. Like, I mean, I think they do look exactly identical.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the other problem this movie has with characters getting confused, to just dovetail off of that, is we have Goki, Goken, Gotetsu, old man, old master, like everyone
Grandpa.
Gets, yeah, like the naming conventions for these characters. We have Goki and Goken and Ken as well, we should mention, shows up in this movie too for some reason I haven't quite figured out. It's just the like worst naming. Sayaka and Sakura, everything falls into this very similar flattened curve, making it impossible to tell who's who or what's happening or who's talking about who. And I think they might be reusing names. Like Goki is definitely the main villain, but then they also at one point say Old Master Goki, and I think they're referring to a completely Gotetsu? Different character, and maybe they flubbed the line and didn't catch it or what, but they definitely say he killed Old Master Goki at one point.
Well, that wouldn't be out of character for this movie, because there is definitely a lot of poor translation happening throughout.
So that right before we saw this, I said, oh my God. And then I was like, I'm going to wait to tell you. We're calling it poor translation, and I don't know that it wasn't a Japanese script first, but Wikipedia says this movie was created exclusively for an English language market and only got a Japanese translation later as an inclusion in a bonus feature DVD of the movie, the live action movie Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li.
Huh.
So we can't be sure. All of our thoughts about this being like an incredibly poorly translated plot and script, we can't be sure any of that is true. It was developed for an English language market.
Yeah, but even if it was developed for that,
written by Japanese,
written in Japanese,
writers, could be the case, because it does feel like it feels out the gate like a really bad localization of something. But if they didn't voice act it in Japanese first, I mean, maybe that's the problem, is they didn't have something to go off of. Like a normal localization would get the tone and the translation, and they just had the translation, so they had no tone to follow. It is some of the most amateur, low quality voice acting. I can't think of anything worse, and that's including like, oh, Popper. I can't think of a worse film for voice acting that we've done on this podcast. And we've done like many films with individual characters who are terrible and stand out, but this is the entire cast is just flat and boring, and it doesn't feel human at all.
It's not great. Though I will say, it's the most fun I've had with a movie we've watched in recent memory.
Terrible. I mean, I laughed out loud at points. It is laughably bad at points.
Yes.
But even with its kind of not that long runtime, 45 minutes.
Mercifully short.
Even with that, I was losing my mind towards the end because it ran on too long. It's really all just building up to one big fight, like that, like all these movies do, of course. But like, I mean, like a one-on-one fight is what this movie's like about. But it's trying to lay some backstory and build a universe up to that point. And I was tired of it.
I felt like the final fight was mercifully short.
Yeah, it didn't drag. I mean, it could have been a 30-minute fight like we've seen in other movies like this. I will say that, yeah. But it was, some of the moves were interesting in the animation for that final fight, but it is one of those final fights where it's like everything's going poorly until we flip it and now we can defeat the bad guy. Like,
yeah.
It is not anything earned in the development of skill or the beliefs of these characters. It's like you could predict every step of this so easily. Should we get into, I guess, the details of the plot of this now?
Sure. Why not? Let's do it. Should we also address, you've been calling him Goki.
Yes. But our American audiences would better know him as Akuma.
Yes.
Yes.
And which is Goki his Japanese name?
Yeah. Well, at least in this film, I don't know outside of that, but apparently, yeah, they, for this film, called him Goki.
Yeah. So the film starts with Akuma and Goken, who's apparently his brother, which I don't know. I don't know much about Street Fighter story. But apparently they're brothers and they're both being trained.
We're brothers. Under...
That's what this movie is missing. It needs E. Honda to really sew this all together.
That wasn't E. Honda, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Mind like a steel trap, Nick.
Okay. Okay.
I remember everything from every movie we've ever
watched.
You've
never gotten anything wrong that we've looked up and immediately proved you wrong on the recording.
Nope. Just don't ask me about anything.
I think you're right on this one. Yes.
Don't ask me about anything from that other Street Fighter Alpha movie you watched.
Yeah.
So they are training under Master Gotetsu, right? That's his name.
Yes.
So we have four characters basically at the beginning. We have Gotetsu, who's the master training them. We have Goken and Akuma. And then we also have, what is the woman's name again?
Sayaka.
Sayaka.
Sayaka, maybe. I don't know. Pronunciation's hard on these things.
And they also said like
ignorant,
once, I think.
English only speakers.
Yes.
Sayaka.
It gets in. Well, it's confusing because it starts with a flash forward and then it does a flashback and then it does back to the flash forward, but like,
yes,
immediately after the fight. So the flash forward starts with a fight between Gotetsu and Akuma because Akuma is embracing the dark Hado and he's fighting Gotetsu, who has massive balls, just giant, massive. Huge balls around his neck. I'm talking about his necklace. His necklace is made of giant balls.
Like meditation beads, but they're huge.
Yes. And Akuma's like, I want those balls. So he fights Gotetsu. And this fight it's pretty brutal. Like he is beating the shit out of this old man.
Well, I'm noticing this trend because like the Mortal Kombat movies do this too, where they start with a much more brutal fight to try to set stakes and tone. But then they never live up to it later, you know? Like, if you're going to do that, you have to pay that off by the end, right? You have to go like, okay, this is how brutal all of this is. But instead, it's just this one fight and then the rest of the movie. You know, there's some kicks and blood, but it's never as brutal as this one.
Yes. So they fight, and then it jumps to a flashback some indeterminate time before the fight where Akuma and Goken are training under Gotetsu and they're just kind of being warned about the dark Hado and like, you know, things of that nature. Do not embrace evil. Pain leads to the dark side. Bullshit like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it jumps back to immediately after the fight, Gotetsu is dead. Like his face is caved in on the ground. Dude is dead.
Body is like twisted to bits, like blood everywhere. Yeah.
Blood all over his balls. And then Akuma picks up his bloody balls and puts them on. He's like, these are my balls now. And then he
rides off. Oh, where your balls are on my neck.
And then he rides off into the sunset. And let's also address what you mentioned before. I guess at first we thought it was poor animation, like you said, but apparently when characters embrace the dark Hado, their body features like contort.
Yeah.
And he just gets, I wouldn't say it's not like his, it's partially like his vascular system becomes like more, you know, like in Dragon Ball when they like their veins start popping. It's a little bit of that, but also he just gets like a lot of creases in his face.
Creases
his
everywhere. His nose kind of like turns up and bulges out. Like it's very strange. It's subtle enough that it looks like you're not sure if it's supposed to be happening for a second. And then you kind of catch on. You're like, okay. But like for the first moment of it, you're like, what, what is happening here?
Because they like slowly turn up the intensity on it. Like it starts subtle and then it just goes more and more and more and more and more and more and more until he's like this behemoth.
Yeah, very blocky, square-bodied behemoth. But what they don't do is like sound layer it, where you have like you don't hear like bones crunching or anything to really like sell it. So it's very confusing visually for a moment. And also incredibly ugly. Like the transformation process is it reminds me a little bit of like in the old Ren and Stimpy cartoon when they would like cut to like an more over detailed illustration of that moment. It's like that because you're getting all the lines of muscles and wrinkles and everything just like not hyper detailed. They didn't have the budget for those like that kind of quality, but just extra lines everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't have a thought to finish this one.
Can we cut that? It's a lot.
Can you mark this and cut that? I was just rambling and then I realized I was like, I got nowhere I'm going.
Well, now I'm going to keep it in.
No, fuck you. God damn it.
So he kills Gotetsu and he goes off. And then do we jump immediately to the present, I guess? Because this movie does this weird thing where it like explains the plot like out of order, and because so many characters are either similarly named or look similar, like for a good portion of the movie, up until they say Ryu's name and call a different character Ryu, I thought Gouken was Ryu.
Yeah, because they aren't saying the names. They're maybe getting the names wrong in some shots. Really, I think they did get someone's name wrong in that opening. We have to rewatch it, and I'm not going to do that. And also like young Goki / Akuma looks a little bit like a short haired Ken. Like if you like cropped Ken's hair down, like maybe he hasn't grown into being the full on Ken yet. And then later, you know, after he metamorphosizes, he definitely looks like Akuma. But when we're introduced to Ryu, his hair is shorter. Like he just got a haircut and he's not in like a gi, so you're missing, and this happens to multiple characters, you're missing like the classic costume look to make you know like, oh well, that's who this is.
Easily identifiable markers for the characters.
Exactly.
And the first time they say Gouken's name in one of the flashbacks with Gotetsu, he says like Gouken as if like a proclamation. He's like, go Ken, go out and do something to save the day. And I was like, okay, is this Ken? Because he just looks like Ryu with long hair. And I was like, this, but he has black hair, so he can't be Ken. I'm confused. Right. But none of them are Ken or nor yet. Ryu. Yeah. Well, the people in the past are not that, but we jump to the present. There are some like establishing shots from before of the kind of training dojo, and when they jump to the present, they show those same shots, but with massive changes. So like there's like a
time has ravaged this place.
Right. There's like a stone placard saying something, I assume the name of the dojo, and it's like overgrown with grass and foliage. And then they have a shot of the dojo itself and all the windows are tattered, because it's gone into disrepair. And we get a woman that looks just like Sayaka. Yeah. Like kneeling in front of a couple of like grave markers, and we get a man who looks kind of like Ryu, but also looks like Akuma pre-transformation that walks up, and he's wearing like travel clothes. He's got a big backpack. He's got a flag for some reason. We talked a lot about the flag.
Well, I think it's like a hiking marker, right? So if you did have like a problem on the trail, then they could easily find you. But that's my guess anyway. But it does, it's a totally different design than any Street Fighter character we've seen before. So I don't know if is this a deep cut I don't know about, or is this someone I do know about, but they're just not wearing what we expect.
Yeah, I don't know. Also the Alpha series, I think, is like its own separate universe or whatever. So
yeah,
things be different over there. But he goes up to the woman, chats with her a bit, pulls out a giant bottle of what I assume is sake.
Yeah.
And he's like, I got this. You interested in this? And she's like, no thanks, and then walks off. And he's like, well, okay.
Well, what's interesting is like, again, she is so identical to, we're calling her Sayaka. We don't really know if that's right, but Sayaka, that pronunciation wise, we don't know if that's right. That it seems like he must be talking to the person who witnessed all of the tragedies happen here. And, you know, like,
yep.
That was involved in that. But then she says, oh yeah, I knew the people who were at this dojo. My grandpa is, or maybe she doesn't say that, but she says, my grandpa lives close by. So I've been living here for a long time. And it's like, well, is she her then? Like, and clearly we know now that she's not, like, definitely, but it's so confusing to be in that scene to hear her talk about it so dispassionately and not like, oh yeah, my grandpa lives nearby. And also I was clearly romantically involved with some of the people here and watched right. them murder each other. Like,
yeah,
it's,
I'm traumatized. It's so I'm disconnected. Here to...
Yeah.
Yeah. So Ryu goes up into the dojo, and he sits down. He can tell again that the place has fallen apart and no one really trains there anymore. And mm-hmm. he sits down on the front steps of the dojo and just falls asleep, I guess.
Yeah.
And then dreams about Akuma walking into the dojo through the gates and Ryu's like, shot. Who are you? What do you want? And it cuts to Akuma and he does nothing but just move his lips up and down. Like, he yeah. doesn't, there's nothing audible. So it's just, I mean, I don't know how to audibly like communicate
right,
this.
You can't, but it's you just, can't. But just imagine just like, a pair of lips just chomping up and down. And it's clearly like, oh, he's saying something, but Ryu can't understand it. Again, at this point, we don't even know it's Ryu, but this character can't understand it.
Yeah.
But they didn't like put in some whispers or a droning effect yeah. or like any audio engineering that could have given you the sense that you're not supposed to get this information now. Instead, it's just empty sound and moving lips. And that's certainly offsetting, which fits for like, oh, this darkness character, this evil character is upsetting in a way to even interact with at all. But it comes off laughable. I mean, literally to the point where you and I were like doubling over and just laughing our asses off, not able to pay attention to what the fuck was going on because it was so ridiculous.
My mind just inserted like lip smacking noises. Yeah. Like, it's like, and then he leaves and,
yeah.
and that's the end of the exchange, and then Ryu wakes up from the nightmare, and then he decides to have some oniri, right? That's what that is, the rice balls,
oh yeah,
jelly donuts. And he like looks away,
call them jelly donuts, and just leave it at that. We're gonna leave it alone. Yeah. We're gonna move on.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. You got so mad during the recording.
Well, you called it jelly. Now you're bringing it back. I said we're gonna move on, and you're not moving on.
Anyways, he's trying to enjoy a delicious, freshly made jelly donut, and he looks away from it for 1 second, and he glances back, and it's gone. And then he hear a guy go, he missed your jelly donut, huh? And he looks up, and there's this old man laying
never
on,
says jelly donut.
On the roof of the dojo, and he's like,
yes. So impish old man capable of incredible speed and dexterity has stolen his rice ball snack and is essentially just teasing him, torturing him, and saying like, hey, you think you're so good, why don't you fight an old man? And Ryu resists the urge to fight him for multiple blows, this old man punching him in the stomach pretty hard and things like that. And then eventually gets pissed enough to knock him through like a wall. and the old man is excited by this, and they spar. All of this just for the old man to defeat him ultimately, and sort of convince him that he is, you know, a worthy
pupil,
combatant in the general. Like, yeah, just in general, it's like he's not just a frail old man. He is a powerful figure. And then invites him back to his house.
Yes. Also impressively redirects a Hadouken of yes. Ryu's.
Yeah. Ryu, which is, by the way, a pretty weak Hadouken too. Ryu like throws this thing and it's kind of like very slow moving. It's clearly animated by like CG animation that they've laid over top of this, which anyone who's been listening to this podcast for any amount of time knows I fucking hate. Like, do not mix CG into traditional animation and act like it doesn't look completely out of place.
What are you talking about? It looks great.
But it like slow moving energy ball, tiny energy ball flies across the old man, catches it and throws it back at him. And that's kind of the like ultimately the end of the fight. Brings him back to his place and is like, hey, all right, well, now that I've beaten you up, have some food. And we get lots of Ryu's internal monologue through this where he's like, he just beat me up and now he's giving me food. What's this old man's deal? We introduce the fact that Fuka is the girl that was out at the roadside that Ryu met, and obviously this is her grandpa.
In fact, it's everyone's grandpa, because everyone refers to him as grandpa for the remainder of the movie.
Yeah, Wikipedia says the character's name is Old Master, which is still not a name, by the way. But regardless of that, everyone who meets him calls him grandpa. And then we even do find out at one point in the movie, which I think is only in there because the old man is so creepy, but that even Fuka, it's not really her grandpa. She just kind of lives with him and calls him that.
Adoptive grandpa.
Yeah.
I believe in this scene, it's either this scene or a different scene where they're eating at the table, is the first time they finally call him Ryu. So we like had something to latch onto in terms of like character names. It's like, okay, all right, we know this guy's Ryu. All right, now everything is relative to Ryu, just like Street Fighter, now just like it should always be.
Anchor ourselves in this universe a little bit and figure out where we are. I'm just gonna rip the band-aid on this. The old man introduces how much of a creep he is by, as soon as Fuka leaves the room, he's like, she's pretty fucking hot, huh? You want to fuck my daughter or my granddaughter? Like, it's not that explicit at all, but it is creepy and bizarre the way that he's like, I'm getting old and I want to see my granddaughter get married, so you should definitely marry my granddaughter.
Even though she's not my granddaughter by blood.
Even though that, which is fine. Like, right, if you are an adoptive parent of someone, then you are their parent. That's fine. What is so troubling about this is having that affection where you are the adoptive parent and you want to see them find some happiness, I guess, through marriage, if that's, you know, culturally a huge deal for you. Later, there is another female character, and Fuka and this other character take a bath together, checking off Dylan's oh-so-critical fighting movie list of requirements. If it doesn't have a shower scene or a bath scene, it isn't a real fighting animated movie.
I'm so glad that this can join the exalted ranks of the best animated fighting movies we have seen on this podcast.
Yeah. But this other character is having a bath with her. And then the old fucking man is outside their window peeping on them. He gets knocked away pretty quickly, so it doesn't last long, but he is out there just listening into their conversation for a long extended period of time. But that's his granddaughter he's raised for who knows how long, and this stranger, and he's just trying his hardest to see them naked. What a fucking monster of a character to have any kind of sympathy. Like, instantly I'm like, well, I don't care what happens to this character. I hope something bad happens to him. Like, he is not someone who I am going to enjoy in the slightest.
I hope Akuma kills him and takes his balls.
Yeah. But jumping back into the timeline of the movie, we basically move into a training, I don't know, it's not really a montage. Like, they don't do like a full-blown montage.
It's like a scene. Well, there's a little bit of a montage. Like, it changes time of day a bit and locales. Yeah. Like, there is like a field at sunset where Ryu is like practicing his kicks and punches. So there's a little bit of that. There's a little bit of montagery.
Yeah. And in this montagery, they do establish the crux of the film, which is Ryu identifies that the man from his dreams is someone he is destined to fight, and the old man doesn't want him to fight him. It's important. It's like, it's forbidden in his training. That's the other piece, is that the old man tells Fuka that Ryu is his new sensei. New apprentice? Pupil. What does he call him?
Oh, he does. He does call it an apprentice.
Yeah, and he's going to be training him. And that's because Gouken, who we only get like any word about him in this like very most brief flash, but Gouken has been killed and Ryu is convinced Akuma is the one who did it, but I don't think he has any evidence to that fact. I think he just believes that's the case.
No, I think he was there, was he not? I thought he witnessed the fight.
Then why, when he sees Gouki / Akuma, is he not like, you're the guy who killed my master, I'm gonna fucking kill you? Instead, he's like, who is that? You want to fight? Like, it's very, like,
you know.
Yeah, but, yeah, I think this movie is bad. So who knows if they were thinking about that when they wrote that scene or not.
In case you forgot, the movie is bad.
Yeah, I just want to reiterate that as many times as possible throughout this podcast recording. But cut to a much more buff Ryu. I feel like this exact same thing happened in one of the other Street Fighter movies we watched. But then we get Sakura, the young upstart fighter who idolizes Ryu, showing up at the house and wanting to fight Ryu.
She doesn't show up at the house because Ryu and Fuka go grocery shopping, and then he has like a long internal monologue. He's like, why am I grocery shopping? I should be training.
And then
they have to walk back, like on the highway back to the temple, and that's where Sakura shows up, and she's like, it's Ryu, and then she faints.
They
take her back to, and then have another dinner scene where she says she hasn't eaten in however long it took her to find Ryu, where she says she started in Tokyo, and then they all collectively go Tokyo, like with surprise, even though we as the audience have no idea how far away that is
from
the current location,
but presumably long enough, both through context of that being a statement to make in the first place and everyone's reaction, but also, you know, they're out in like a mountain. So like there are mountains, you know, not that far from Tokyo, but you'd want to eat on your way to them.
Presumably.
Yeah.
But so Sakura wants to fight Ryu. She's traveled all this way. She wants to face him in combat because she respects him so much. And Ryu dismisses her. He says she's not strong enough. She couldn't take him on. And Sakura keeps pestering him during training. So he goes ahead and punches her to get the point across, I guess, that she is not ready to spar with him. And she just keeps standing her ground. And they just go back and forth. And she like he keeps dishing out damage and she keeps taking it. And so the fight just kind of turns into this kind of like respect for Sakura's like endurance and ability to withstand pain and in training
determination,
and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah.
Determination. She's filled with determination.
And then they try to make it sound like Ryu, you know, learned something from her in this fight. Really, it's just like, okay, well, we need another Street Fighter character and another fight in this movie. Like that is the only reason this scene happens. It does not contribute to the grander plot in any meaningful way. It's just like, what's the runtime on this? Okay, let's get another fight in here. Which I feel certainly about the next character who's introduced as well.
Your friend and mine, Mr. Ken Masters, which I haven't been very good about talking about all the individual lines in this movie that just
what do you got?
Knocked me over. During Ryu's initial fight with Grandpa, he says, I've been pretty easy on you because of your advanced age, which is both a hilarious statement in and of itself and hilarious because it sounds poorly translated. in one of the flashbacks at the beginning of the movie with Gotetsu, he's like talking to Akuma, and Akuma's talking about we should embrace all sorts of power, all sorts of like different types of combat, including the Dark Hado. And he's like, bad karma is bad karma indeed.
Yeah, the exact line. I did write this one down. It's like the only thing I wrote down that was a direct line from the movie. The bad karma which is flowing in our bodies. Long pause. It is bad karma indeed. Like, what?
Nice tautology there. How could
a voice actor do that line and not go like, no, we gotta workshop this. We gotta change that.
Can I get
a
rewrite, please?
Yeah, absolutely. You gotta call for that in that moment. Unless you're just like, well, this will be funny to have out there in the world. Like, I am contributing to something by giving this worst line reading possible air.
When we see Ken for the first time, he is being driven in a car, and he looks out the countryside, and he's like, it's morning, and those clouds look pretty bad.
Which I guess is like, yeah, the Akuma clouds that come with him. But yeah. So this whole thing is Ryu's fight is ready to begin with Goki/Akuma. And Ken wants to stop it from happening because he is afraid that Ryu's Dark Hado will awaken in such a fight. And then Ryu will be a destroyer of worlds, like straight up enough power to kill the planet.
Just like Oppenheimer.
Yes, I am become Akuma. So he goes to stop him, but here we go. Old man showing that he is still the most capable fighter, and maybe at some point he should have fought Akuma. He leaps in here and stops Ken in one of like the least exciting fights ever. Like just dominates the fight with Ken. Ken doesn't stand a chance, and then sits on his back, which is enough to keep Ken
to
prone
pin him down
for the remainder of the movie. Like there's not long to go at this point, but it is going to be the only position Ken will be in for the rest of the movie.
Also, what is Ken wearing? What is this outfit? He looks like the Crocodile Hunter.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, no one is in their iconic costumes until Ryu is ready to fight Akuma, and then he does pour some alcohol on his headband, which I guess is probably a tradition, but, you know, I don't know it. Ties that off, stands up, he's in his gi, and now he's off to the woods to meet Akuma. The old man and Ken end up talking through all of the Akuma fight, so we get some cuts back and forth between that happening. It's hard to describe anything about this Akuma fight because it's just a lot of kicks and punches and stuff. The general vibe is Akuma is largely unfazed by everything Ken has until some ghosts start to show up. And I don't, you want to try to explain?
What is there to explain? Apparently, it's like the genesis of the Dark Hado, I guess, because it's like all of these medieval Japanese soldiers, and half of them are like blown up, or like they're like missing half their body, and then the other half just march around with spears and finish them off, and they're just like stabbing them. But then, like, that's happening, and I think there's also some like color coordination happening here, because whenever Akuma uses his Dark Hado powers,
it's purple.
You know, it's purple, and then whenever Ryu uses his Hadouken, it's blue.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the ghosts have like a blue aura, and some of them have a purple aura, so maybe there's like a connection there, I guess.
I think it's like all the ones that are just blatantly killing innocent people, because there's like some ghosts that are... effectively, the buildup is, I think we're even seeing maybe a ghost image of Akuma in one of these ghosts, but I'm not positive. Maybe it's just someone who went through a similar transformation.
Yes, but yes.
It's hard to say.
But he looks like Akuma with black hair. So yeah, I think it's supposed to be like a previous incarnation of like the most powerful Dark Hado user.
Yeah. But basically, we're seeing them all like... some of them are, you know, killing people in combat and ripping their bodies in half and stuff like that. But others, it's like, well, sometimes, you know, they turned in violent combat, but for others, they turned against the people they loved. And there's like a girl who is just like kneeling and crying, and the fucking the Dark Hado person that is not Akuma just puts a hand to their face and blasts their head off with the with a Hadouken, a Dark Hadouken, as it were.
Disintegrates them.
Yeah, but it's Hadouken. Like, yeah, I think like anyone who's given into the Dark Hado is going to have a purple ghost, apparently. So if you want to customize your afterlife, yeah, this is the way to do it.
Got these microtransactions.
Yeah, you got to buy the skins. But as these ghosts are appearing everywhere, some of them start to, like, little mote wisps of ghosts form around Ryu, and he starts drawing on that energy to channel a Dark Hadouken, and that is, you know, like, the first thing that hits Akuma that actually hurts him. And then Ryu starts to get his weird metamorphosis where he gets balkier and more lines and manages to, like, punch Akuma in the head one time hard enough that blood like spurts out his ear on the other side and kick him in the shin hard enough that blood spurts out of his leg, which is, that's impressive.
That's, yeah, that's not really how, when with a blunt object, that's not really how that works.
Yeah, but with the flat of your foot hitting your leg and blood just squirting out.
But it is funny when he kicks him in the head, he is like frozen in place and hovering in midair after that. So Akuma takes that opportunity to just grab his leg and then swing him around and slam him like into a rock, which then shatters. Yes.
But this is all just to, you know, have the hero's dilemma, right? Like, oh, so much power and I can actually win this fight, but I'm got to give in to evil. And then, you know, he doesn't know that he could potentially destroy the world, I guess. But that's what the old man's telling Ken.
Because the old man is preventing Ken from
helping.
Yeah. From giving this important information to Ryu for no good reason.
Yeah. He's just like, I'm pretty confident he'll make the right choice.
He's like,
how do you know? And he's like, ah,
I'm a creepy old guy. I know things.
They also introduce the reason this movie is called Generations in this conversation, because somehow there is an ancient Dark Hado bloodline, as opposed to just like tapping into dark chi or whatever.
Right.
You have to be born into it.
As opposed to devil's blood in Tekken.
Right, exactly. You're like, hey, this is just Tekken. Like it does feel like such a cop out to be like, oh, he's not just Ryu, the best trained fighter who has this chance of, you know, turning to evil. He's Ryu, the best trained fighter who was born with a cursed bloodline going, but yeah, it's very Tekken. And there's some subtext here that we didn't know until reading the wiki after the movie, but like presumably, it seems pretty clear in the wiki at least, which is written by someone who's fallible and who knows if this is really what the movie wanted, but it seems right.
Can't trust fans.
Akuma in this iteration of Street Fighter Alpha is maybe the father of Ryu, because the old man starts telling a story about how a kid was dropped off with him and he was told to train him and keep him from going down a dark path
by Gouken. Specifically, Gouken brought him to grandpa,
and then he took his eyes off him for 1 second and lost him. But
great, wonderful, good job.
But that doesn't, like, he didn't then, like, go scouring the world for him. And also, somehow, the kid just ended up with Gouken anyway, if that's the case.
Yes.
But it's never explicitly said that, like, and Akuma is the father of that child. But there is some evidence in the flashback at the beginning of the movie. Fuka, the woman there.
No, Sayaka. That's not Fuka.
Oh, see, real problems here. Yeah, Sayaka is throwing up, which is meant to imply that she's like pregnant, and then like also Gouken at that time is like trying to get her to hold back because she, you know, something is going on with her that she doesn't need to be out there where Akuma is fighting. But that could easily be Gouken's kid as well. Like Ryu could be Gouken's kid, or could be
Akuma's kid. And they are brothers. Brothers.
We're brothers. So yeah, Gouken would have that bloodline as well. So why isn't Gouken evil? Anyways,
didn't give
all
in.
Of this just to build up this like, oh, there's a potential connection here between Akuma more than just I want to fight Ryu because I'm evil and he's good. He wants to corrupt Ryu, and Ryu is giving into it until out of nowhere in this fight, totally unearned, Ryu catches a flower or pulls a flower. I don't know where the flower comes from.
So they go, they're both charging up dark Hadoukens, and they're like going to like punch each other at the same time. And then for a second, he gets a flash of an image of Fuka.
Right.
And it like snaps him out of the dark Hado transformation. And then they
where's the flower come from?
So it's like a ghostly flower from like the spirits that are around them, but it's also the flower that Fuka uses at the grave site.
And that part I got. I understood the connection from Fuka and the flower, but I couldn't figure out how that. So the flower is just a ghost flower that the ghosts are like, hey, remember the girl that old man wants you to bang?
Because he opens his palm after he like after the punch, after they both miss.
Yeah.
And it like fades away because it's like it's ghostly, so it's just it's ephemeral.
Okay. So not a real flower, a ghost flower.
But the bigger deal here: at what point was there like a love interest outside the forced one by the grandpa?
Exactly.
How is Fuka like the guiding light for Ryu to like?
Exactly. It's so unearned, and she is, by the way, the least character of she's so identical to Sayaka and is not developed in any way to have a personality. She's just
doesn't do anything.
Yeah, she's just sat at graves and goes shopping, and that is enough to save Ryu from tipping over the edge of darkness. And not only is it enough to save her, but just like kind of thinking about her like he had completely fucking forgot her existence prior to that point. It's not like she gets hurt in the fight and he has to like snap out of it to save her. It's not like she pleads with him and tells him to change his mind. He just remembers that she exists and goes, oh, right, I have to be a good guy now. And then does some kind of super Hadouken that like it looks like a nuke that can be seen from space when it goes off. And that defeats Akuma.
But it doesn't kill him.
No.
It like drains him of his dark Hado power.
Because you think that's what happens?
No, it is what happens. Because he looks at his chest, and on his chest there is, because Akuma like is normally depicted with like a darker skin tone, and apparently that's like his dark Hado transformation. And on his chest he has
paler skin. I did not catch this, but you're absolutely right. That is what they were doing.
That's why we confused him for Ryu at the beginning, because he's lighter in skin tone at the beginning, and then when he embraces the dark Hado, he becomes the traditional like kind of like iron colored Akuma.
Well, yeah, his chest did stand out as being lighter to me in this moment, but like his arms didn't, his face didn't.
Well, I think
so
it was like
out if it was just a bad colorization.
No, it was like a slow transformation where it started in his chest because
and his
he just
face
like,
did transform a little bit back to a slightly more human look in this moment as well, it seemed like. But only slightly, not like a full on, you know, like, oh, have you reversed it? You've killed the ghosts that, you know, plague my spirit and
maybe,
set me
maybe
free.
Maybe his face is permanently fucked up though.
Yeah.
From all that dark Hado juicing he's been doing.
So he kind of staggers away and is like, I'm gonna fight you again someday. And then walks off, and we get a wide shot of the mountain that they're on, and like the clouds turning dark, and it's like this ominous, like there's still evil out in the world, I guess. Like it doesn't feel victorious. And by the way, soundtrack is the worst fucking soundtrack in the world. The music has not changed from the fight to this, and it fits neither of them. It doesn't fit a looming threat in the distance. It doesn't, you know, in time, it doesn't fit the action of combat. It doesn't fit the aftermath of like talking about like, well, I finally was able to beat him and I need to leave.
Yeah. It's just like serene acoustic for like setting
so
a scene
off. We don't do anything else with Ken at this point. We like, he was there only to be exposited to, that's the word I'm looking for. The old man says, oh, why do I feel tired? I guess I'm done, and dies in the woods for no reason at all. I mean, he's like, he's completed his job of keeping Ryu from turning to the dark side or whatever. And then Fuka, who presumably Ryu is fucking in love with because it saved him from going over the edge, or at least has enough interest in that maybe he'd want to be around her, she's sad at the roadside having just buried the old man, her grandfather, and Ryu just fucking pieces out. He just looks at her for a little while, turns and leaves.
Yeah.
Because he, I guess, is doing like the hero's burden of like, well, my life is going to be full of fighting. I can't be with her. But they don't say any of that. And yeah. they don't express any condolence for the old man.
Right.
It's just like, huh, it sucks to be you. I'm out.
Yeah. That graveyard is getting bigger by the second. And he's like, well, sucks to suck.
Gotta go. I gots to go.
He does, though, collect one of the flowers that she puts in front of the grave markers. And he looks at it and he's like, this could mean something. And then leaves.
I found this movie awful. I was so tired of it by the end of 45 minutes.
But when are you not that way, Nick? When do you not
I know.
Tired. Every movie is the worst movie. Sick to your stomach.
But man, this was bad. The just low quality bar for this one. Like,
I had a lot of fun I'm because glad. It was so dumb. There were laughs to have. It was short. It was breezy. Hit all the high watermarks of a terrible animated fighting game movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
So 10 out of 10, honestly. Nothing to complain about.
Terrible. I wish I could say it's bad enough to watch. Like, I wish that was the takeaway. Is like, everyone should watch this because it's funny. And I don't think it's that. I think it's, you know, maybe that someone could do clips on YouTube from this that could be funny, but it is not worth the full 45 minutes.
Here's what you do. If to find the real enjoyment from this movie is what you need to do, you need to sit down, find some suckers, and start a video game movie podcast with to make them watch every video game movie in existence. And then just the sheer trauma from that and the built up experience of watching all these fighting game animated movies will make this feel hilarious. That's what you got to do. So go out and do that and you'll love this movie.
Cool. What's next on our podcast, Dylan? What are we watching next time?
Well, let me tell you, sucker. I mean, Nick. Let's so you'll be happy to learn that I did a little digging.
God. Oh no.
And I found some movies we missed. So we got a couple more here on the old list. I don't even know how to build up to this one because I don't even know what the fuck this one is. Mirai Ninja, apparently an arcade game. Yep, no idea what this is.
Okay, great introduction to that. Yeah.
So, well, it's got a movie, Nick. So how bad can it be?
Right. Yeah, we haven't had that experience 1,000 times already, it feels like. Gosh, so that's all the way back from 1988 that we just missed this one. We didn't know it existed.
Yeah, it's someone has been doing their due diligence on the list of video game movie wiki page.
Someone has.
Because they have been adding more to the old backlog. So yeah, I think this one is just hard to find. I think it's exclusively from Japan. So
are we even going to be able to find it to watch?
Life finds a way, Nick. Life finds a way.
All right. There is a part of me that is a little excited to go back in time a little bit because I feel like we've hit an era where it's going to be like everything is built on what we've seen already and the newness of it is gone. People have learned how to make video game movies in the era we're watching through now. So to go back when they didn't know how to make video game movies at all and just see what they do is maybe going to be exciting, maybe going to be fun.
Well, we'll see you next time.